Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. I know I got to stop taking these weeks off, man. I do. But I'm trying to regulate here. I'm trying to be a good person, man. So when I feel like I need to take a break, I'm starting to take breaks, man. I get sick of doing the angry podcast every goddamn week. So, I took the week off. But I know people want to know, like, how do I feel about the election and all this kind of stuff. I talked about it yesterday on my live stream. He got answers on YouTube, Facebook, and what's it called? Twitter. I always forget. I don't think I can stream to Instagram on StreamYard, but I might not have that package. I got to look into it. I think that would help my numbers too, actually streaming to Instagram as well. But I haven't looked into it. But I'll talk about that. But as usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for downloading, streaming, watching. However you take this in, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. If you're new, if you saw me in Cleveland this past weekend, welcome to the show. It's only about 20 minutes, and I talk about a few things every week, you know. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's angry, sometimes it's just me ranting about food. It just depends. But I always start with my milestone. And for those who don't know, we have an 8-year-old son. His name is Miles. And I like to talk about the different things that he's going through. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small, sometimes it's nothing. He's still, you know, doing the online school thing, and we're still trying to figure out what's going on, because he does have these emotional highs and lows. We recently made him take some neurological tests and everything came back pretty damn good. So, you know, that's a relief. That's a relief. His brain is functioning fine. You know, he's got high spatial awareness scores, and they said he'll be fine. And eventually he believes that we can wean him off of the ADHD medication. So that felt good to know that his brain is functioning fine. So that's that one. Man, it's been a weird week, man. I can say that. I'm pretty sure everyone can agree. But let me say this. I had a fantastic weekend in Cleveland. If you were there, thank you so much to everybody that came out to see Norman. And happened to see me this past weekend at Hilarity's downtown Cleveland. And man, what a weekend. Out of all the weekends him and I have worked together, I can say, man, that was probably one of the best, if not the best weekends. That was my first time flying in during the pandemic. And I got to say something. It was pretty great. It was pretty great. No long lines. You get right on the plane. Both flights leaving Charlottesville and then leaving Cleveland, I got through security with just enough time to where they were boarding the plane when I got there. So I had no waiting at all. That was great, man. You just go from your car through security, bam, right onto a plane. And 25 minutes later, you're in the air. That's great. I loved it. This is how air travel should be. You know what? In a weird way, I'm supporting this disappearance of the middle class, man. I need less people to fly. I need more poor people to not be in my way when I'm at the airport. I'm saying it like I'm not poor. I'm doing the opposite thing. How, like, when Rogan gets on his podcast, yeah, these fucking rich guys, right, man? This guy's so bizarre. This guy's so rich. Some rich guy with a goat head on, fucking his own daughter. It's like, what do you mean some rich guy? That's you. You just bought a house for $14 million. You are the rich guy. It's so fun when people act like they're not rich. But I get it. You're a comic. People can't know you got money because they look at you differently. I can't lie. I saw some pictures of Bill Burr's old house. And I was like, this is where this angry motherfucker was recording the Monday Morning Podcast. It's like, how can you be this mad with that many pastel colors around, that view, this pool, that kitchen? It's like, are you kidding me? I see why he hit it, man. I see why he hit it. No one will believe you if you're sitting in a nice house and you're ranting about how you hate people at the airport or some lady made you mad at Subway. People don't want to hear your problems. So I get it. I totally understand. But man, it felt good to be back in Ohio. My wife and I, we have ties to Ohio. Our son was born there. I was stationed there for about 6 years. We had a lot of friends. That's when I first started working clubs. And I met a lot of lifetime friends there, man. And I love the state of Ohio. I love it. And it was nice to be back. And I can't lie, the moment I got back into the state of Ohio, the moment I touched down in the Midwest, I started eating like a complete asshole. Complete asshole. But let me tell you about Hilarities, man. That club, man, Hilarities, if you're a comic, Hilarities is the club that you think all comedy clubs are like, and you can't wait to be on the road. It's everything that you think it is. I can't lie. I feel like I don't deserve it the entire time I'm there. I mean, they pick you up. There's no waiting for the car. The guy, as soon as you land, you turn your phone back on. I'm already outside. Just let me know what door you're at. They picked me up in an Escalade. I'm like, I don't deserve any of this stuff. They drop you off at the hotel. They got a nice card waiting for you. The hotel downtown, the Hyatt at the Arcade, is a beautiful hotel. It's literally right across the street from the club. So you don't have to like get an Uber and drive 25, 30 minutes to the club. It's right there. It's literally a 45-second walk from out the door to the front entrance of the club. I would say it probably takes just as long to get – it took me just as long to get downstairs to the lobby as it did to me – it took me – Jesus Christ, I can't talk today. It took me just as long to go from my room to the lobby as it does to go from the lobby to the club. There you go. I got it. I'm not editing shit. I'm not doing it. Fuck it. But they treat you so well. All the staff knows you when you walk in, because some clubs you go to, who are you? I got to double check. Oh, we're not sure. Wait out here. Stand over here. Wait. When you walk in, it's like, oh, Chris Allen, Mark Norman, you know, come on back here. I get it. They recognize him more than me, but – it's still nice, man. It's still nice. They sit you in the back booth. I'm telling you, man, it's just like being in that scene in Goodfellas where they walk you through when they walk them through the back and they put the table. They make you feel special, man. I know I don't deserve it, but man, it makes you feel good. It puts you in a great mood. You're already thinking like, oh, these shows are going to be great. And they just say, eat whatever you want. You know, they got steaks and lobster tails, shrimp cocktail, you know, wings. The restaurant is great. Ceviche. I mean, anything you want, man. And Nick Costas, the guy who owns it, he's so old school. He checks on you every 10 minutes. I mean, everybody's like, is it good? How was that? Was that bite good? It could be a lot at times, but I appreciate the attention to detail, man. They make you feel welcome. They make you feel welcome. And I'm a complete nobody, man. And it makes you want to do well. It puts you in a great mood. That's a club you really look forward to going to. You really do. But as soon as I get there, I'm starving, and I find a deli down the road, the street. I said road. I've been living down south too long. And I'm not a corned beef guy, but I do like a Reuben. But I get the turkey Reuben, and I think they call it a Rachel. And I hate sauerkraut. I can't stand the smell. And I get coleslaw. I know people are turning this off right now. I can't do coleslaw, man. I mean, I can't do sauerkraut. I've tried, man. The smell, I can't do it. But man, I'm eating a fucking Rachel. I got a big old thing of a potato salad. I mean, go back to the room or fall asleep. We got a show that Thursday. The show Thursday was magical, man. I'm not even gonna get into it, but it was just wild, man. Some stuff happened on stage where you're like, this is a one-time thing. This will never happen again. But we had a great time. Every night it was like, hey, we're not staying up that late again. We got to get some sleep, man. We got to get some rest. Got to get some rest. And before you know it, it's 3 o'clock and you're like, oh, shit, Sam, I'm sorry. I know you got to get home to your family. But we would just sit in the green room. They're drinking, you know, people smoking cigarettes. It's just, we're talking comedy. It's just a good time, man. I really miss that. To me, that's the best part. That's the best part is the post-show hangs. You know, when you first start, you really like meeting people because it makes you feel like you're a real comedian and you get to pretend you're famous for 15 minutes. But over time, that gets to be the worst part of the show because you get a lot of drunk people. They don't know when to stop. They don't know when to leave. They want you to take 1,000 pictures for them. Not even in the pictures. You just, oh, that was, I didn't like how I looked in that one. You know, you're just dealing with a couple hundred drunk people every night. It gets old. But I will say, they supported your boy. I sold out of merch. I think I literally have one shirt left, and I went there with a duffel bag full of shirts, my black ones and my yellow ones. They're all gone. So thank you so much, Cleveland, for showing me so much love. It was a great weekend, man. We went out to lunch with our buddy Jason, who used to manage some other clubs. He took us to a nice cafe, Hex Cafe. I got a great chicken kebab. We walked around that neighborhood. We just happened to walk by the Heisman, the guy who they named the Heisman Trophy after. His house is right down the street from this cafe. And then you look at this house and you go, man, this guy has no idea his contribution to the game of sports. His contribution to the game of football. You know, the Heisman Trophy is like one of the most coveted trophies in sports. And I'm walking by his house. And you go, man, this kid walked out of his house every day, had no idea what his impact was going to be on the game, and that he would be named after the most prestigious, you know, individual award you can win in collegiate football. I mean, that's a piece of American history right there. That's how dope Cleveland is. It's just a great city. People shit on Cleveland, man, but I like Cleveland a lot. And I know I haven't seen it all, but from what I've seen, I like it, man. I really enjoy myself. So shout out to everybody in Cleveland, man. Thank you so much. I can't wait to go back. And it was a fucking delight. And I was honored to be able to headline Sunday night. Not the best crowd, I will say that. But, you know, hey, I'm trying to get into these clubs as a headliner. And who am I to get a hot, hot crowd my very first time? I had fun. It was just one of those crowds where it was really hard to gain any momentum. Every joke was a show in itself. You do your joke, ha, that was funny. Next one, you really couldn't build any momentum. I tried crowd work. I tried getting people to talk to me. They didn't want to say anything. I tried being dirtier. I tried being a little cleaner. I tried doing some dark stuff. It's just, I didn't know what they really wanted to hear to get them rolling. But after the show, they said they enjoyed it. And I was able to basically sell out of shirts. You know, you really know how well you did by how sales go. And I get sometimes people just don't have money. But if you sell some shirts, that means they really liked you. And I did well all weekend. And I'm so thankful. I'm blown away at the support. And, man, it was a fantastic weekend, man. We had a lot of fun. We got some writing done. It's fun watching Norman build his hour again. He's got some real gems in there. And I can't wait till he records this hour. But it's so much fun working with him and kind of grinding down some of the rough edges on some of the bits that he's working on. Same with me. I got to work on a few things. Some stuff that I didn't think people would be into. I've been doing some weird space stuff, a couple of space jokes that people seem to like. So that felt good. When you write some stuff, you go, oh, this is kind of weird, man. I don't know if people are really going to be on board with this. But then they like it. So it was fun. I got to see my buddy Adrian. He's a guy that became a very, very close friend while I lived in Dayton. He's in Columbus now. He came up. He did a guest spot on Thursday. And my buddy Josh Myers, he's a guy I served with in Dayton for years. He's a good friend of mine, also a comic. Got to see him, hung out with him. It was nice, man. It was a great weekend. This weekend was what you expect comedy to be. When you're new, it was, man. And I can't say it enough. It was a fantastic weekend. Fantastic weekend. Mary Santora, she was emceeing. We had fun. Got to see Mark Paramore, John Bruton. It was just a fun weekend, man. Just hanging out with comics. It was great. And then Saturday, we stayed up so late. We missed Chappelle's monologue, but I watched it about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I loved it, man. Chappelle, he's a goat. I loved it. And I get it. People are like, oh, it wasn't funny the whole time. But, hey, comedy doesn't have to be funny all the time, right? Yeah, y'all kind of established that when the Hannah Gatsby special came out, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed it. So if we're gonna say that comedy doesn't need to be funny all the time, then I don't see how you can have an issue with what Chappelle's doing on stage. It's just that guy, man. He's on another level. On another level. It's just you watch him and you go, why the fuck am I even doing comedy? Why? But man, so I guess as of right now, the election is kind of over, but it's not over. That's why you don't really see me gloating. It's not like I was not confident. I didn't feel great about my choice. You know, I knew who I wasn't going for. I knew that, but I definitely wasn't happy about who I had to pick. So, I got to eat some crow here. I really thought there was going to be violence that broke out on the day of the election, and I was surprised. I mean, we're just in a weird time now where I would say a year ago, I would have been like, nothing's going to happen. But with all the stuff that's going on this year, I thought it was very, very likely and very possible. And yeah, I tend to lean towards the more negative things. I consider myself a realist, and I thought people were going to get crazy and stupid, and it hasn't happened yet. So we'll see. But look, man, I'll say this. I don't feel bad for Trump supporters that are sad, man. I don't, you know, I see people out there like, oh, you got to show them some compassion. I'm not going to throw anything in their face, but I'm definitely not out there like, hey, buddy, you want to play catch? I'm not doing that, because, you know, without a doubt in your mind, if he would have straight up outright won, they would have been in everybody's face, calling everybody a snowflake, honking up and down the street, giving people the finger, yelling at everybody. They wouldn't have handled the win well. They wouldn't have. They wouldn't have handled it well. They're not good winners. And what's so funny, most of those guys, those people on that side, they hate to see celebrities celebrate, not celebrities, but like athletes celebrate after a touchdown. But they would have been that same guy. They would have been the same person. He would have won. They would have been icky shuffling and fucking two-stepping and nay-naying and doing all type of shit, rubbing it in people's faces. So to a degree, it's like, I get it. If you want to give them shit for it, that's on you. Me personally, that's not my style. But we don't know what's going to happen. This guy is obviously cooking up something, man. So it ain't over till he's out. That's how I look at it. It ain't over till he's out of there, man. But I'm just glad no violence broke out. I got to be honest. And I guess I better address this Megyn Kelly shit. I talked about it on my live show, but I don't have my phone on me. But she basically was saying like there's 70 million people out there that are hurt, that are angry, they're upset, and they've been ridiculed and called, you know, the worst of the worst for the last 4 years just for supporting the president, and it's not fair, and that no one has a clue how that feels. And I felt that's super disrespectful, especially as a black person in this country. When I saw those tweets, I immediately sent pictures of some of those diner sit-ins where people were being beaten. They were having hot food and all kind of shit poured on their heads. They were beaten. I sent a picture of a young man that we all know died a horrible death for allegedly whistling at a white woman. Everyone knows the Emmett Till story. I sent her that picture. You know, on top of that, you have zero understanding. Tell that to all these black women that lost their sons during a time like that. They were dragged behind cars. They were lynched. People just ended up missing. You're saying you're being ridiculed because you supported the president? We were being murdered and lynched and killed and kidnapped and raped and all that shit just for being black. So it's like, I really don't want to hear her shit about how hard it was for her over the last 4 or 5 years because people were talking shit to them on the internet. And I get it. People can be fucking assholes. But to sit there and suggest that people have zero clue about how they feel And then when Black people try to express how they feel, when you see these Black mothers get on TV and upset and crying about what's happened to their son or their daughter, and yet you have no empathy, no sympathy. You tell them, hey, if he just would have complied, or like, hey, mistakes happen. No type of empathy for Breonna Taylor. You know, for Sandra Bland, for my man that got killed in Ohio, for Trayvon Martin, for Tamir Rice. All these people, man, you show no fucking sympathy. But for some reason, we're supposed to come over to your house and pat you on the back and bring you some cookies and tell you everything's going to be okay. And it's all these stupid, closed-minded people. And, you know, you're the real victim here. That shit ain't going to fucking happen, man. It's not. But I can say this, though. When I got back here to where I live in Charlottesville, man, it's definitely a different feeling, man. There was a lot of tension in the air before this election, and now it's not there. There's still some sadness in the air. There's something there, but that tension isn't there anymore. You know, that tension, and I would say the arrogance and that vibrato that you used to see these guys walking around with all their fucking Trump and MAGA shit on, their fucking shoulders back, chin up high, you know, because they figured it would trigger people. You're not really seeing that right now. You're not seeing it. They feel a little dejected and defeated. And, hey, I mean, it sucks. But it is what it is. We'll see what your man cooks up, you know, if he's going to try to steal this thing. But as of right now, they can't prove any type of voter fraud. It's just so weird that he talked about voter fraud last time and he won. And he goes, I was just fucking around. And then he loses. And now he wants to go along with it. And it's so weird, too. It's just like Biden got all these mail-in votes. Trump told his people not to mail shit in. How can you get mad at that? He said, just go down there. So are they going to try to use the fact that a lot of these mail-in votes are for Biden against him? So you never know. People think he's a dumb guy. He's not dumb. He's very calculated. Very calculated. But, I'm over my time. I don't want this to go too long. But thanks again to everybody in Cleveland. Shout out to all my friends that came out. If you're new, welcome. Hopefully you stay. Share the podcast. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy. You can see it along the bottom right there. I'll be in Greenville, South Carolina this weekend, starting tomorrow, actually, with Mark Norman again at the Comedy Zone Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Unfortunately, I don't have any merch to sell, but damn it. But if you do want a shirt, you can check it out at HTB. That stands for Hide the Bodies, kickass.com. HTBkickass.com if you want a Don't Tread on Comedy shirt. And with that being said, I'm out. You guys have a great week. Peace.